In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
The 17th century French philosopher René Descartes distilled his philosophical worldview down to a single sentence, which many of you probably should know. In Latin, it's translated cogito ergo sum, but in English it's rendered I think, therefore I am. I am. And even though Descartes was a professed devout Roman Catholic, he set the stage for what we would know today as a very radical world of rationalism and secular humanism. You see, for Descartes, it all boiled down to a whole platform of doubt and skepticism. In fact, one of the ways of interpreting Descartes' famous saying is to say, I doubt, I think, therefore I am. But what Descartes perhaps unknowingly, unwittingly had done was open the floodgates for a complete transformation of a Christian Western world and transforming the worldview. For you see, the Christian worldview is not one that begins from a position of doubt and skepticism, but from a position of faith. It is faith in the I Am. That is the divine name of God. And we recall when God revealed his divine name to Moses. Moses had been called of God, and there's a theophany, that is a manifestation of God in the burning bush. And there, and this is from Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. In this divine name, which is often transliterated in the Hebrew as Yahweh, there is a mysterium to that name, the I Am. But Israel had that name revealed in a way in which they were serving a God who had revealed his name to them. And so for the many centuries, the name became a very sacred name, such that oftentimes there was a tradition which developed among the Jews that they would not even speak the name. And so we come to the gospel lesson this morning on this Passion Sunday, this last week of Lent before the beginning of Holy Week, in which Jesus is confronting the religious leaders. The religious leaders who like the secular humanism and rationalism of today, is operating from a platform of doubt and skepticism. The fact of the matter is, Descartes really only opened the door for that in the modern Christian world, in the modern Western Christian world, which really now has become very secular. But this worldview of doubt and skepticism, that is a worldview outside of faith and belief, is representative of all who are children of the devil, who don't know the truth, who are not willing to face the truth. And so in this confrontation from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, there's this standoff that is happening. And Jesus says, beginning in verse 47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." In other words, Jesus is saying to them, you are children of the devil. And then the Pharisees now endure or launch into insults. In verse 48, they said, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" And Jesus goes on to say, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now, this was a claim that the Jews rightly interpreted, knowing that only God the Father has power over death. And yet they're hearing Jesus makes the claim that whoever keeps his word shall never see death. And they continue in saying to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? And who do you make yourself out to be?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, and of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This was the most explicit expression of Christ's divinity. He had taken the divine name, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the divine name. He was putting himself on an equal with God the Father. And for this, the Jews took up stones to try to kill him. There was murder in their heart. You see, their worldview was not one of belief and faith, but rather of doubt and skepticism. But it is our knowing the I am. As we enter into this Passion Week, it is our knowing that in the midst of whatever we are facing in life, that we come from a platform, from a worldview, a belief in the I am, who no longer remains hidden, but reveals himself in flesh and blood, in the person of Jesus Christ. These last few weeks for all of us have been an incredible time. We never would have predicted that here, leading up to Pascha, leading up to Holy Week, that we would be here in an empty church other than just myself and Deacon Stephen and our acolyte John Malloy. We would never have believed that we would be confined in quarantine to our own homes to see the death toll rising from this COVID-19 pandemic. But in many ways, we have been thrust into this wilderness journey. And as we face whatever challenges and hardships, as we battle against our own anxieties about the future, I want to remind you that we do so from a platform of faith, that we approach this situation, this ordeal, this trial, as a matter of redemptive suffering. We're blessed in that none of us, to my knowledge, have fallen ill. We have food on the table. We have a roof over our heads. We enjoy many of the same comforts of home. And even with the technology that we have, where we can record and stream our Mass and our sermons, there is the tendency in times of stress that doubt may begin bubbling up in our own souls and our own hearts. And I want to remind you of the redemptive nature of suffering. From 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 7, St. Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," that is the gospel, "that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." My brothers and sisters, what we are experiencing, which none of us have ever experienced in our lifetime, is a light affliction. A light affliction that is revealing, if we will allow it, from a position of faith, to exceeding far greater glory that is in God, the I Am, the eternal now of God. And therefore, we shall not lose heart. I'm sure that many of you have seen heart-rending stories coming out of the media and social media regarding the severe challenges being faced, especially by those who have been afflicted with this pandemic, with this virus. And yesterday I saw a selfie video that was taken by an ICU nurse who was coming out on one of her breaks. And she was recording herself describing just the horror of what she had been facing over these last few weeks. I have no idea where she is, but evidently it must be in a hot spot. And I apologize for that. Alarm on my phone. But this nurse began to break down and cry. And having endured the emotional weight and stress of not only having people who are sick and dying that she's caring for, but seeing these people on literally on their deathbeds, an ICU who cannot be visited by family, and those dying having funerals which are not public, in which friends and extended family are unable to attend. For these, this is the hell that they're enduring. For the frontline people, our nurses and our doctors, they're living in a literal hell. But yet this nurse, who obviously was a Christian nurse, began praying even as she was crying and interceding on behalf of those who were depressed and cut off and isolated from their families. And perhaps in some small way, she was a visible manifestation and is a visible manifestation of the love of God that will never separate from those of us who will only believe. I want to close in just reminding us of what St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These are the promises of the gospel. Our Lord, who faced death head on, who conquered death through his glorious resurrection. And this is what we journey to. Things may get even far worse for us, but there is nothing, no COVID-19 virus, not even death itself, will be able to separate us from him, the I Am, the great I Am, who conquers all things. Let us give thanks and rejoice in the day by which we can once again reunite in communion together with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.